Hikers are turned back on the Chilkoot Trail because of a food-conditioned bear. And state officials say herbicide spraying in Skagway is unlikely to jeopardize a water testing waiver. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Hikers planning to attempt the Chilkoot Trail this week should think twice. The Canadian portion of the 33-mile route is closed because of recent bear activity. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
The so-called meanest 33 miles of history got a little meaner this week when a bear ravaged a cook shack on the Canadian side of the Chilkoot. The popular and challenging trail stretches from Dyea outside of Skagway and snakes its way over the pass through rugged terrain to Bennett Lake in British Columbia and the headwaters of the Yukon River. According to the National Park Service, the U.S. side remains open, but hikers will have to reschedule their trip to accommodate the closure. Parks Canada says the Canadian side will be closed for at least 48 hours. Hikers have been evacuated from that side. This closure is due to a bear incident that happened on Monday afternoon at Lindeman City, about 25 miles from the trailhead in Dyea. Parks Canada says no one was injured, but a bear broke into the camp's cook shelter and raided the food cache. In a release sent Tuesday, the National Park Service in Skagway said response teams from Parks Canada, with assistance from Yukon conservation officers, are there and will, quote, take measures over the next few days to identify the bear and return the trail to open status as soon as possible. This incident was discovered on Monday around 3:30 p.m. when Parks Canada staff returned to the Lindeman City camp to find that a bear had broken into the makeshift kitchen through a window and raided the refrigerator and cabinets. The bear found a significant quantity of processed food and was observed again in the structure at around 6:45 p.m. The National Park Service says hair and prints found at the site suggest that the suspect was likely a black bear. There have been a number of similar habituated and food-conditioned bear incidents along the South Klondike Highway in recent weeks. Parks Canada says due to the great amount of food the bear got into and the hazard posed to public safety by the now food-conditioned bear, they've decided to dispatch the Bruin. The closure was finalized Tuesday morning, forcing hikers to turn around at the border. Sean Gaffney owns Alaska Mountain Guides. He says a group of 12 hikers and two guides are currently making their way back down toward the trailhead in Dyea. He says it's the first time in 25 years of facilitating guided hikes on the Chilkoot Pass that they've been forced to turn around and go back. Waiting it out on the trail wasn't an option, Gaffney says.
Because of travel arrangements, et cetera, there was, and the uncertainty about the timeline associated with a possible resolution up there, the group was in the position that they needed to turn around and head back down. They're not down yet. They're en route as we speak, and it may take them 2 days.
No one in the group was hurt, and Gaffney says AMG does about 8 to 10 guided hikes of the Chilkoot Pass each summer. The Chilkoot Trail is a notoriously tough trek, made famous during the Klondike Gold Rush when tens of thousands of gold seekers scrambled up the pass on their way to the promise of fortune in Dawson City.
I respect the parks a lot. They do a great job. We always see ourselves as we're on the same team. That's all, you know, as the parks folks, and they make good decisions, and they felt that this is what needed to be done.
Gaffney says the hikers will be offered other activities like rock climbing or zip lining once they get back to Skagway. For updates, contact the Trail Center in Skagway at 983-9234. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
A private company's plans to spray herbicide in Skagway have alarmed some residents and officials who are worried about environmental repercussions. One concern has to do with a waiver Skagway holds that exempts it from certain public water system testing. But the state official who oversees those exemptions says the herbicide spraying is unlikely to put the waiver at risk. White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad is set to apply an herbicide called Oust along rail beds this summer. Railroad representatives say it will cut down on excess vegetation that makes for unsafe tracks. Last week, the Skagway Borough Assembly voted to write a letter voicing concern over spraying planned in the town site. Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. and some residents expressed concern that the spraying may jeopardize Skagway's synthetic organic contaminants waiver. Chris Miller is the Drinking Water Protection Coordinator at the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
But it's highly unlikely that it would have any impact on the waiver that they currently have in place.
The waiver relieves public water systems from testing for synthetic organic chemical contaminants, like herbicides. Miller says it comes down to this. The active ingredient in oust is not one of the pesticides regulated by the waiver.
Based upon how prevalent the contaminant was, and not just the prevalence, but the actual toxicity of the chemical, those factors were, and the mobility, how it's transported in the environment, those are some of the factors that they took into account when creating that list.
Oust's main chemical, sulfometrin methyl, is not one of the dozens of contaminants on the waiver's watch list. But the herbicide White Pass originally planned to use, Roundup, is on the list.
And that would have had an impact on the SOC waiver.
White Pass switched from Roundup to oust in an effort to honor Skagway regulations on restricted herbicides. Miller says after the oust spraying happens, Skagway should run testing to make sure the chemical did not make its way into the water system. If the tests come back positive, DEC would likely require additional testing.
I think it's unlikely that you're going to detect anything. But if you do detect something, then we may request additional sampling.
Miller says if traces of the chemical were found in the water, the worst-case scenario would probably involve more testing, but it's still unlikely Skagway would lose the synthetic contaminants waiver.
So I guess I can't say for sure that they wouldn't be required to sample for additional SOCs, but it's highly unlikely that it will result in a denial of their waiver.
The exemption saves Skagway about $6,000 every 3 years in water monitoring costs. Tyler Rose with White Pass says the spraying will happen within the next 3 weeks and is weather dependent. The Slims River, which runs into Kluane Lake north of Haines in the Yukon, has dried up. The CBC reports the glacier which feeds the Slims has receded to the point that its meltwater now flows in a different direction. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more with help from the CBC's Paul Tucker.
Kluane Lake could soon lose its status as the largest lake in the Yukon. The body of water stretches 150 square miles near Destruction Bay in the Yukon and is fed by the Slims River. But as the CBC reported last week, the Slims is no more. Geologists told the CBC that the Kaskawalsh Glacier has receded to such a point its meltwater now flows a different way. The runoff now moves south down the Kaskawalsh River to the Pacific Ocean. Jeff Bond is a senior geologist with the Yukon Geological Survey. He says the Slims River has basically reversed its course.
Folks have realized or noticed this spring is that it's essentially dried up, the Slims River. So where's the water gone? Well, I mean, really, it's up to the Kaskawalsh Glacier to decide which way it sends its meltwater. And there's been some changes, obviously, such that Slims River has decided to now flow into the Kaskawalsh River system.
Bond says it's the first time in at least 350 years the Slims River has stopped feeding Kluane Lake. The CBC reports that instead of flowing north 12 miles from the glacier's toe into Kluane Lake and ultimately the Bering Sea, that meltwater is now draining eastward via the Kaskawalsh River towards the Pacific Ocean off the Alaska Panhandle. The CBC says last year, the Slims River was still a potentially dangerous waterway, but now the area is more prone to dust storms until vegetation can take root. The river was born during the so-called Little Ice Age in the 1700s, according to the Arctic Institute of North America. That caused the Kaskawalsh Glacier to advance and then divert most of its meltwater from the Kaskawalsh River to the Slims Valley. As a result, Kluane Lake grew. Now with the Slims River gone, hydrologists are expecting the lake level to drop, according to the CBC. Bond says how much lower depends on the outlet and water depth, but he predicts Kewaunee Lake could drop by as much as 3 feet. But he told the CBC the impacts could be much more dramatic over the long term. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.